Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. Stories connect us. They are the bridge that leads to understanding and even appreciating others. Here's the thing. Everyone has a story. So often those stories go untold and there are misunderstandings or assumptions made. What I love about stories is that it opens up the world a little wider. They help me grow. They teach me new things. Often, they change my mind about my own preconceived perceptions. When you talk about the wider story, the collected stories of a family or a community, I picture a big old oak tree, its leafy branches spread wide, its roots down deep in the soil. Every leaf and branch is connected to the whole. One leaf or one branch doesn't mean much. But to see the whole of the tree in all its glory, that's amazing. There's something about having roots, being connected. Case in point, the latest craze is to have your DNA tested so you know where your ancestors are from. I've shaken my head at the popularity of this, how excited people get to know who their 23rd grandparent was. But it's the stories they connect to that is the draw. Without roots, we are like a boat adrift with no anchor. There's something about knowing where we come from, knowing our identity, whether within a family or community that has become your family. Here in Holmes County, Ohio, our roots go down deep, and it really is a small town, even though the area covers several small towns and even many more miles. The kind that you read about in books, you know how it goes. If you're new to the area, your head spins trying to make all the family connections, and everyone seems to be related to everyone else. And, at the least, everyone knows everyone else. Even in small towns, we can overlook the story, or worse, get only part of the story. This is a unique place. Most people who live here have generational ties, or have been drawn to the area because of that stability of generations who have lived here. I think knowing a bit of the background will give you a basis of understanding just what makes this place tick. Family is important. Faith is important. Community is important. Because all three go back to the roots that have sunk deep in this area. Today we will be talking about stories. Some of our stories of the area, and really, that's what I want this broadcast to be about. Stories of the people who live here, who work here, and even stories of the people who visit here. Come on, let's cross that bridge. My guest today is Marcus Yoder, Executive Director of the Amish Mennonite Heritage Center. Welcome, Marcus.
Thank you. It is a joy to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here because I feel like the center is such a wonderful resource for our area, for our visitors and locals alike. You know, a lot of locals, maybe like me, had never gone into the center. And when I did, I was really impressed with what is there. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. When you walk in the door, to the left is a large room. It's called the mural room. The mural room houses Behalt, which is a mural. Behalt in German means to stop, take notice. And it is a painting that is 10 feet high, 265 feet in length, in a round room. By the way, interestingly enough, this connects to Bunker Hill in that he began, the artist, Heinz Gogel, began painting just across the street from Bunker Hill Cheese. In the Y, there used to be an old Brethren church there, and that's where he began.
Oh my goodness, I did not know that. How interesting. Yeah, it's fantastic. The cyclorama is amazing walking in, and of course you have tours and people that explain that. And what it does is it tells the history and the story of the Amish and how they got here, correct?
It does. It begins with Christianity, Jesus, and very quickly moves to the Reformation, the beginnings of the Amish and Mennonite world, and then slows down and takes pieces of our history. And it was painted by a man named Heinz Gogel. Heinz was a German-born, he was born in southern Germany, actually. He was drafted into Hitler's army forcibly at 17 and was wounded at the Battle of the Bulge. Laying in the snow, he decided that war does not solve humanity's problems. And then after the war, immigrated to Canada. And then kind of in a fateful moment in the late 1960s, he traveled from Toronto, Ontario to Columbus, Ohio to look at some glaze brick and stopped in Berlin for lunch. walked outside the restaurant after lunch and heard somebody speaking Pennsylvania Dutch and recognized it as Schwäbisch, the language of his people, and connected and fell in love with the area and decided to come here and paint our history.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And what a blessing for the area, yes. Because what he left behind is, it's amazing. And it is one of the first places that we like to send visitors because there's so much more. There's even more than this kind of visual overview of what's going on in the history, which I love. Maybe you don't love history, but you know, the painting and all of those things, there's so much there that you have to offer visitors. And as I said, locals too, because you not only have the cyclorama, there's more, isn't there?
Yes, there is. So let's give you a visual of the room where you walk in. You walk in, there's a gift shop. And we try to focus on gift items that reflect our community, that have a story with them. The broom maker, local lady who makes homemade brooms. The baskets are made by handicapped people who may not be able to do something else. We have great photos of the community done by Doyle Yoder, who is probably the eminent photographer in the community, and many other gifts items. And then also we have displays and historical displays that connect the community. One thing that I often tell people is, you can come into this community and you can understand something about the Amish by driving around. But if you really want to understand what makes them who they are, what makes them live the way they do, you need to understand a bit about their history and world and culture.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Because what you see when you come here is just it's just a piece of the picture to get the whole view of it, understanding a little bit, as you said, of the history. It's pretty incredible because they were a culture that has been basically persecuted and kind of pushed. You know, they went from place to place because of the persecution. So that makes it a little bit easier to understand. Maybe their what we would view as isolation is not really what that is.
No.
It's the focus on being who they are in their DNA, what that culture means to them. Fascinating stuff for me. One of the things that I was surprised at when I came was, and I not only loved going through the cyclorama and hearing that, but the museum piece that's there, it's incredible. It's not huge, but there's enough there that you could spend a couple hours in the museum itself looking at what you have there to offer. And some of it is, like, I was really surprised at the, I don't even know what the word is, but some of the pieces that you have are pretty extraordinary, especially for a small area like we are.
Yeah, we're very blessed. We have the largest collection of Amish-related and Anabaptist, which is the Amish and Mennonite-related items in the Midwest. We have probably the crown jewel of what we have is a Bible, a 1531 Bible that weighs 13 pounds, printed in Zurich, Switzerland, and has been in Amish or Mennonite hands, we believe, since the beginning.
Wow.
Think about the story that Bible
yes.
could tell in its journey from Switzerland, where these people began, up into being pushed up into the Rhine Valley, and then meeting William Penn's land agents, moving to Berks County, Pennsylvania, and then Somerset County, Pennsylvania, and then being strapped on the back of a young 20-some-year-old Amish man on a horseback as he travels to the Walnut Creek and settles there. These archival items are much more than just, and they always are, archival items are much more than just artifacts.
Mm.
They have stories. Everyone has this story. So what we've tried to is tease out those stories and talk about those because it creates texture to
yes.
our world.
Yes, and that's really what connects us as people.
Yeah.
I feel like when you can hear someone else's story, everything else really falls away because people are people. And so if you can connect with the story of who they are and how they got where they are, it makes a bridge that's really, really sweet in a lot of ways. So understanding the Amish history and the Amish story is key, not just, as I said, not just for visitors, but I think for locals too, to go and see that and get some of those stories there. The other thing that I was surprised about is your library that is there and the genealogy work you do.
We have access to databases, well over 1 million people who have Amish or Mennonite background and roots. And in a short time, we can put together genealogical trees and databases for people if you have any connection to our world. But we do more than that. We also affirm the community's values by the kind of books. It's not a lending library. It's an archival research library. Mm-hmm. So we have scholars from all over the world come, academic scholars who use our resources. We've also digitized all the Amish newspapers, the Sugar Creek Budget. Seriously? By the way, this is great. Long before social media, long before Facebook and Twitter, the Amish already knew this stuff was important. In 1890, this editor starts the Sugar Creek Budget, and he invites people from other Amish communities to write in and tell them what they're thinking. You know how Facebook says, right. What are you thinking?
Yes, what are you thinking?
And those people may write, you know, church was at so-and-so's house. But so from 1890 forward, it has been produced weekly. And it's a social networking newspaper. We've digitized all of it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then put it in a searchable database. For instance, the Social Security Administration recognized it as a viable means to get a birth certificate if your name was listed in the budget as being born. So we do, those are the kinds of things we're preserving for the community.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And the budget is very interesting and lots of fun to look at it, read. And when you think about the connection, and truly, you're right, the Amish had that. And I also like to say, hey, forget Uber. That's we've done that in this area for a long time. But there's a couple other buildings there as well on property, yeah, correct?
So we have a school on our property that we use to show people who visit what an Amish school used to look like and how they operate now. There's several hundred Amish parochial schools in our community, and it's a good window into, and especially for kids. They get a chance to sit in a desk and so on. But the schoolhouse was the original South Bunker Hill School.
Oh.
It stood about 100 yards south of the crossroads, and they moved it there. And it is not renovated. It's restored.
Restored
to its original,
yeah,
condition. Mm-hmm. And then we have a barn that was raised in one day, in the traditional barn fashion, using pegs, a superstructure like they do. And we use that to talk about how Amish have church, buggies in there, and things like that.
Yeah, lots, as I said, for the whole family, anybody, really whatever your interest is, there's something there at the Heritage Center to draw you in for sure. So I'm kind of curious, Marcus, what brought you to Holmes County?
Well, I was born here. An Amish family. My family left when I was in my teenage years, early teens. They joined a conservative Mennonite church. But my extended family is primarily still Amish. They live 3 miles from Bunker Hill Cheese in the center. But in 1974, my parents were talked into buying a set of World Book encyclopedias. I still remember the salesman. I remember his cheap cologne. The other day, I smelled somebody's cheap cologne, and it took me back to that moment. When those books came, I thought I'd died and go into heaven. I loved reading, and I thought you were supposed to read them. So I started with A.
So you did.
And read to Z. And I know more about aardvarks and zebras than these facts. But it really helped me understand that I loved history. But then I did the normal thing and quit school in the eighth grade and went to work. I tell people I did it backwards. I worked for about 25 years. And then I went to The Ohio State University.
Wow.
So I always thought I'd get out of the community and so on. And at 25, I was young, married, my wife, 24, my wife and I moved south down near Columbus. And there was a small Mennonite church there and did construction work. In about 2004 or 5, I thought, I want to go back to school. I didn't know if I could. And I'd read a lot. And I just walked into Ohio State, their Newark campus, and said, I'd like to sign up for classes. And I started there. And discovered how much I loved learning again and academia. Graduated with honors, and my wife decided to do the same thing and followed me, and she graduated a year after I did. And then through a strange set of circumstances, we both received fellowships from Yale University and moved to Connecticut and spent 2 years, and both have master's degrees. At the end of that time, I loved the multicultural world of Yale. I thought, where could I go where I could have that? I thought, Holmes County.
Yeah.
We get 4.5 million visitors a year.
Yeah.
And I'd been on the board of the center before. And I thought, I want to work there. And they needed an executive director, and it was a good fit. And I love my job. I love connecting with people and culture. So since 2012, we've been tracking where our visitors are from. Of the 195 countries in the world presently, we have had visitors from 184 of the 195 goodness. Countries of the world at the center.
Wow.
And those are the people who take the tour.
Yeah.
To the Behalt tour. The other thing that I love doing is giving back to our own people. So we do a lot of programming for Amish and Mennonite, particularly young people. So the baptism, when an Amish become a part of the church, they're baptized and become a part of church, often it's between 18 and 21 years old. And they do a spring and fall season of that, baptisms. And we made a connection with their bishops. And so they bring their young people, parents and young people and ministers come. In the span of three or four evenings, we can have 650 or 700 people. And these are all local people. And I love that part of it. So we have these international visitors and visitors that I love, and then our local people. And then we have a good, thriving academic community that uses our library. And I feel like I've got the best of all the worlds.
Well, I certainly see you as a jewel kind of hidden in our little neck of the woods. It's kind of amazing when I think about what you and your wife have brought to the area and what you've brought through the center. It's a pretty incredible place. And as I said, it's really for everyone, because wherever you are on the spectrum, whether you like history, like art, just are curious and have questions, all of that can be seen and the questions can be answered right there at the center. I love that you are giving back to the community too. I didn't realize that you were bringing all of the, you know, Amish young people, so to speak, in and kind of giving them a sense of their own history and their foundation, which that's a real blessing for them. That is a gift, I think, knowing where you come from and understanding truly the foundation that's been laid before you for all of us. I think, you know, ancestry and kind of finding out where you're originally from is really big right now, but that's the reason for it, right? Mm-hmm. We're all curious, like, how did we get where we are and what are we doing here? And being able to give that to the young people, I think, is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a really good pickup there on the ancestry thing. One of my observations is that, and I'm a historian, so I need to say this, but one of the observations is that when a person doesn't remember who they are or doesn't know who they are, in our present world, we often tag them as having dementia or Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't interact in the present world because they can't remember anything. And the same is true in some kind of community way. If a community, a group of people, a family doesn't know their history, doesn't remember their history, we have a harder time interacting in the modern world. I was just recently watching the PBS thing on, you know, when they find your ancestors, and thinking about these people who, when they wake up to who their great-great-grandfather was, suddenly this kind of connection happens.
Yeah.
And that's so important. It's important and valuable to a community to be engaged in the modern world. It's the only way. And the Amish, by the way, are not an insular, insulated community frozen in time. They're not the Laura Ingalls Wilder of our world. They're very innovative
and
technologically advanced.
Yes.
They've made some different choices.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I think people have the wrong perspective of the Amish because they think, oh, they're uneducated. Well, no.
No, they're not.
In fact, many, many Amish I know are much more educated than I am. Even they may have only gone to the eighth grade, but they have far more knowledge than I do in many, many areas. And they're up on world politics and world stuff that I think, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that. So we're all guilty, I think, sometimes of lumping people into a, you know, like all Southerners are this, yeah, or all Northerners are that or whatever. But the truth is Amish are just people like us, like everyone else. And so I think having the opportunity to kind of open that world to other people is exciting because there is something about the community. There's something about being connected. There's something about this area. Now, I'm not from here. I'm an outsider that moved into it. But there's something here that does appeal to people, and it touches them on a whole nother level that's difficult to understand and maybe even express, but it's here.
It is.
It's here, and we want to share it. We want people to know that and see that. So having the center and having people who are welcoming and willing to, you know, invest in the visitors that come. And it's reciprocal. I love that you say, like, the whole world has come to your doorstep, Marcus. Mm-hmm. Like, how amazing is that?
It is.
And being able to talk to them and converse with them and sharing cultures, you know, your culture, the culture of the Amish in the area, their culture, mm-hmm. And what they've seen, that's pretty exciting. So I think my first thought to give to people is, where should I go? Here's where you stop first.
Thanks.
Right here. Yeah.
And I do believe that this is a good place to start. We're open 9 to 5. Our tours run at the top of the hour. The mural tours run at the top of every hour. We have some video clips you can watch. You talked about this kind of the world coming to our doors. The most amazing picture I have of that is a number of years ago, this group of athletic men and women were there, and I'm like, who are these people? And I noticed they were speaking a foreign language, and it was the Moscow Ballet.
Oh, my goodness.
The Nutcracker Suite, they're famous for that. But it was the Moscow Ballet Company. And I looked into the mural hall, and here is an old order Amish guy giving a tour to the ballet dancers from the Moscow Ballet. And I just had to laugh. I thought, this is a beautiful picture.
Absolutely.
This is a beautiful picture.
That is a great, great story. And I feel like that's the story of our area, because when we talk about visitors coming, the sense of community is so ingrained here that visitors who come, if they are willing to reach out, I mean, there's somebody standing there ready to, you know, draw them in and say, hey, come be part of our community, even for a day or 2 days or a week or however long you're here. Come join us, and it's a pretty incredible place, I think, to live and to see and to experience. So being able to kind of get a glimpse of that. I mean, many visitors who come, if we have over 4 million people that come in a year, think about that. They're not here very long. I've lived here for I don't even know how long, and I've only gotten a glimpse. You know what I'm saying? So there's always something to learn and something to share and another story to hear, which I think is pretty incredible. And it's one of the reasons why I love the podcast, because I learn something all the time. You had said something to me earlier about the painter, the artist, was actually connected to Bunker Hill Cheese. I thought that was pretty cool.
The painting itself, by the way, there are 4 active murals in the United States. Gettysburg, one at Atlanta about Sherman's March. And then one at the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art.
And then us.
And us.
Oh, my goodness.
But we are the only one in the United States painted by one person. All the others were done by teams of artists. So the painting was done by a man named Heinz Gogel. Heinz was a German-born immigrant to Canada, actually. But before he immigrated to Canada, he was drafted into Hitler's army forcibly at 17 and was wounded at the Battle of the Bulge. Laying in the snow in the Ardennes, he realized that war does not solve humanity's problems. Moved to Canada after the war, got married, and became an artist. He did some large-scale work in Canada, stained glass windows, altarpieces of churches, the site of a mall about the Welland Canal. And in a kind of a fateful moment, he was going to Columbus to look for some glazed brick, Columbus, Ohio, and drove from Toronto to Columbus and stopped for lunch in Berlin, walked outside the restaurant, either Berlin House or Boyd and Worthman, walked outside and heard somebody speaking Pennsylvania Dutch and recognized the language as the language of his people and began to talk and fell in love with this area.
Yeah.
And decided to come back and paint it. And he was looking for a venue to start. It's 10 by 10 piece of canvas. He thinks it's going to be 10 feet high, maybe 150 feet long. It ended up being 265 feet. And the one place that worked was there was an old church building right in the Y at Bunker Hill, just uphill from Bunker Hill Cheese. And he started there. And so there's these deep connections to the to that small corner of our world.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And we are close neighbors.
Yes, we are.
I could walk up to the center if I were so inclined.
Yeah, we're about a quarter mile, half mile apart.
Yeah, and it is a place that we often send people for that very reason, that that's the place to start. And it's not just the place to start, but it's the place to go back to, I feel like, and learn even more. So I am so thankful that you came on the podcast. Hey, will you come back?
I will. I've got a few stories that I would love to tell you.
I'm so excited to hear them. I almost want to start again and get another podcast in right away. But thanks again, Marcus, for being with us today. And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that Holmes County, Ohio has one of the few and possibly the largest Sgraffito murals in North America? Artist Heinz Gogol, after painting the cyclorama Behalt, used the unusual art form to make the outside mural of the Amish Mennonite Heritage Center. It depicts immigrants coming to the New World and is done by layering layers of contrasting plaster, then removing the layers to make a design or drawing. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines Sgraffito as decoration by cutting away parts of a surface layer, as of plaster or clay, to expose a different colored ground. Sgraffito comes from the Italian word graffare, which means to scratch. Sgraffito, to scratch. If the written word and its plural, sgraffiti, remind you of graffiti, it's no surprise, since the modern street art done with spray paint originates with an ancient technique done in Rome, where they scraped words into walls. And now you know.